Why do these terrible things happen to us? You know, if you don't know that, you need to spend more time in church.
Amen.
God clearly does these things as judgment upon this country. Amen. And when you get a hold of the fact that I'm God and I'm in control and everything, I'm running the show.
Amen.
There is no other God besides me. When you get a hold of that, that He is who He says He is, then you got to realize that every one of us live and die when He's ready. You know, I mean, if just like I've said many a time, whether you know the Word of God or not, you live according to the Word of God. We saw what He does to the wicked. They've just read that Psalm 92. I mean, the wicked, I mean, they're going to be cut off, and some of them may get filthy rich, but they're going to die, you know, just like everybody else. But when they die, where are they going? Down there, where they're not going to like it. It's going to be devastating. So anyway, the thing about it is you want to serve the Lord. You want to put Him first. How many of you want to please God? You want to please God? Well, let's start off today. We're still going to be in Colossians, but to start off with, we're going to start out at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 8, and that's going to be in the NLT. I want to show you some things that's written here and how you need to be careful when you read the Scriptures, because some translations leave out some things, and then they may put it back in at another time. But I'm going to show you a little glitch here in the NLT in verse 1 of Romans 8. But it's not only in the NLT that several translations leave this little statement out. But I want you to see here, it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now that's a statement. But if you read that statement, I mean, I've heard preachers preach on that statement, and that's far as they go. Now if you read Romans 8, 1, and that's all you say, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That gives people the legal right to feel like that, hey, if I'm saved, I can go do anything I want to, and there ain't going to be no condemnation. But you can't stop right there. Now, I want to just go right from right there. I want to move right over to the King James in verse 1. And I want you to see the difference between verse 1 in NLT and verse 1 in the King James. Go to the King James, verse 1 in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the same thing, but is a comma there. And then it makes this statement, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that adds a whole lot to that. I mean, normal people, of which, I mean, you know, I can think about when I was a young man, how easy it would have been to walk in the flesh. I mean, you know, good grief. I mean, I'm a normal young man. I remember after when I got married, my first wife, Betty, she was 18, I was 21, and we got married. And of course, we were like all young people, you know. I had a 57 Chevrolet, it had a bench seat in it, and she always rode right up against me in that bench seat. Well, one day I remember driving down the street, Main Street in Brownwood, Texas, which is where we lived. And if we're driving down, there was another pretty nice-looking girl walking down the street on the other side. And I kind of just looked over like this, you know. And when I did, immediately I felt an elbow. Bam! What are you looking at? I said, nothing. She said, you're lying. You were looking at that girl. Boy, did I come under condemnation right quick. See, now, when you were a young man, I know none of you guys ever did anything like that. I was the only bad boy in town. But this scripture, it's easy to be a boy, you know, isn't it? It's easy to be a boy when you're young. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What was I walking after as a Christian? Was I walking in the Spirit that day when I looked over at that pretty girl? Absolutely not. I'm walking in the flesh. That's why I've trained myself today. Whenever I see a woman, I don't care what she looks like, a woman, I look at her in her eyes. You know, I don't look nowhere else. And if I look at a woman in her eyes, you know, after that, when they see me looking at them in the eyes and my wife sees me looking at them in the eyes, there's not a problem, you know. It's whenever my wife's watching my eyes and she sees me say, ooh, like this. That's when she hits me in the side, see? But she never seen me do that because I haven't done that since, you know, Cheryl and I have only been married 5.5 years after my first wife died. But praise God, I don't do that. But look what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law or the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, we don't get a hold of what that really means, the power that's in that verse. Now let's go back to the NLT and let's read verse 1 and 2 again. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, you know, this might be a good question to ask yourself. If I come to know Jesus and that power has set me free, then why do I not live in it? Because most Christians don't live in it. We don't live there. You know, we live under the flesh. I mean, I don't know why that it takes so long for us as Christians to get a hold of the fact that it's not easy to walk in the Spirit. It's real easy to walk in the flesh. Amen. Have you ever heard that old, the verse, the flesh is weak? Amen. You know, the flesh is weak. I mean, you know, and it's real easy to get a hold of that. But, and then of course, we just walk in the flesh. Verse 3 and 4. The law of Moses could not save us because of our sinful nature. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours are sinful. God destroyed sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, he did this so that the requirements of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Now, see, what we left out in verse 1, he put back in verse 4. Did you see that? He did this so that the requirements of the law would be fully accomplished for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So see, what they left out in verse 1, they put back in verse 4. Now, in the King James, it's got it in verse 1 and verse 4. It's in both places. So you'll see there, and I think it's nice that it is in two places, because as a man, it's difficult for me to get it one time through. You know, I need it more than once. That's why God told me to continue to study this book day in and day out. Don't just read it one time. You know, I remember a good friend of mine up in Washington when I used to be an engineer working, and this guy, he was one of our VPs up in Washington, and he said he was a Baptist, but his little wife, she was Oriental, and one day whenever she worked in the office up there for the company too, and one day I was talking to her on the phone, I just asked her, I said, Rick says he's a Christian. I said, are you a Christian? So she said, I'm a Buddhist. I said, oh, honey, you need to know Jesus. And so I began to talk to her. Every time I'd call, the Lord would connect me with her. Almost every time I call Washington, I'd just get her. Isn't God awesome the way he does things? I'd talk to her about Jesus. I'd tell her how wonderful Jesus was. And finally one day she said, you know, Thurman, I would like to be a Christian. And she said, I'd like to be like this. And I said, well, all you got to do is repeat this prayer after me. So I led her to Christ, got her saved, changed her life forever. Amen. Then her husband began to call. Once in a while when he'd called, then he said, my wife said, you talked to her about Jesus on the phone, got her saved. I said, yes. I said, you know, it's your job. You should have done it. Amen. I said, but you're not doing it. I said, y'all don't go to church, do you? Well, no, Thurman, you know how it is being a VP for this company. We're on the road. We're busy. I said, so you're so busy doing everything else and your wife was dying and going to hell. I said, but I led her to Jesus. I said, you know, you and your wife need to start reading the Bible together. Amen. I said, every night I challenge you. I said, you're a very brilliant man. You got 2 or 3 degrees, PhDs and everything else. I said, why don't you and your wife start with Matthew and read at least a chapter or two every night and talk about it? So for about a year, they read the New Testament every day. And then one day he called me and said, hey, this book is very interesting. I said, yeah, it is very, I will have to say, it's very interesting. Well, finally, he called me and said, well, I've got it done. I read it all the way through from Matthew to Revelation. I said, good. Well, I said, you know, he asked me about something we was going to do. I said, well, you know, let's pray about that. He said, do what? I said, let's pray about this. I said, Jesus made you and me an awesome promise in his word. I said, he said in Matthew 18, 19, if two of us on earth agreed about anything we ask him for, he would do it for us. He said, what'd you say? I said, Matthew 18, 19. He said, Thurman, I read the book. That wasn't in my Bible. He said, if something like that, if there was a promise that powerful, I would have got it. I said, well, do you still have that Bible handy? He said, I do. I said, well, open it up to Matthew chapter 8. He said, that's the first book I read was Matthew. And I said, well, open it up and return to Matthew 18, 19, see what it says. He said, well, I can tell you that's not in my Bible. It don't say that. I would have remembered that. He turned over there and he says, again, I tell you that if two of you, he said, it is in there. How did I miss that? I said, that's why God told you to study. Amen. He didn't tell you to read it. He told you to study it. He said, my lands, what an awesome promise. I said, so let's just take that promise. Let's ask the Lord to do this job for us and show us how to do this and give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding we need. I said, then we will look really good. And when people say, how did you do this? We get to say, Jesus showed us how.
Amen.
And so he learned how to pray and saw things happen. In fact, when we were fixing to have to change over all the Freons, he came down one day and he was on the roof with me and he said, Thurman, what in the world are we going to do? He said, you know, how are we going to keep this business going? If they'd eliminate all these Freons 12s and 22 or 502s and all these things they're talking about, what are we going to do? I said, no problem. My God knows how to make lots of Freons. I said, there'll be all kinds of Freons out here. He said, Thurman, how can you be so positive? I said, I know my God. I know what he can do. And of course, there's more Freons on the market today than there's ever been. Now, it's just a little more expensive. There was never a problem with the Freons. The problem was it was too cheap and they wanted more money. So now then, instead of paying 50 cents a pound for Freon 12, they come up with another Freon that does the same thing, but it's $5, $6, $7, $8, and $10 a pound.
Wow.
You know, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out in the Babylonian economy what they're doing. You know, aren't you glad you're not under the Babylonian economy? Because if you're under the Babylonian economy, you're going to be judged and you're going to run out of money and you're not going to have enough food to eat. And if there was ever a time to put God first, let me give you a little challenge. Today is the day to start putting God first. Because if you put him first in everything you do, he promises to take good care of you. He promises.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Who Sinned, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to the Living Savior Ministries teaching online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.